The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom, welcome back. You were on the road, really, for about a month up in Oregon and other places.
Well, 3 weeks over in Texas, actually.
Oh, 3 weeks in Texas.
Trying to help my daughter get to Oregon, and we haven't accomplished it yet.
Well, anyway, we're glad you're back in the saddle again here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Friday engineer producer. Tom, this is a very big weekend for the Buckmaster household. Tomorrow, of course, Cinco de Mayo, and it was a few years ago, Ann and I said our I do's at a beautifully Frank Lloyd Wright designed church up in Phoenix, actually, First Christian Church. And that was, as I recall, there was a Kentucky Derby that day as well. Maybe it's always because it's the first Saturday of May, right? Yeah. Anyway, but we're celebrating our wedding anniversary, and a big, big shout out to my lovely bride, Ann Buckmaster. All right. It is our Friday Focus interview day, and before we introduce our guest, a big shout out to our media partners. These are people who are in the media, and they support our program by prominently displaying the BuckmasterShow.com logo and website on their websites. Friends like TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun. The Tucson Media Group and its portfolio of Tucson-based publications, which includes Tucson Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, and several other publications. Joe Ferguson is here, and Joe is the political writer, one of the political writers for the Arizona Daily Star. Joe, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
And we have Michael Ortega, Tucson City Manager, who is on his way to the studio. He got tied up with some last-minute business at City Hall, and so he's going to join us probably for the first segment of the show on the live line. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Thanks for your patience, too.
Well, no problem. We understand those things can happen. Mike, can you give us an overview on the budget? Where are we in that process right now, please?
Sure. So the council and staff have been discussing the budget now for several meetings. We've had a few retreats, talked through a variety of issues that are coming forth in the coming year. The public hearing on the budget is scheduled for actually Tuesday, the 8th. And so the council will be looking at you know, what has been presented and really looking at some of the challenges we've got in the coming year and looking forward into the future.
Joe Ferguson, go ahead, Joe.
Mike, where are you in terms of some of these alternative revenue ideas that you fleshed out a couple months back in terms of a fire district and some of the other things that you have at least thrown at the council as possible ways to increase the city's budget now that sales taxes are largely flat?
Sure. So none of the we'll call them alternatives, have been built into the budget. I think they're important for conversation with the council. We'll be bringing back to them a study session to really talk through in detail what those alternatives might look like, to include, as you mentioned, the districts, looking at fees, looking at differential water rates, looking at a variety of different opportunities for revenue generation. Because, again, the sales tax, as you all know, is flat, and it will, looks like, continue to be based on shopping habits, based on internet sales, et cetera.
What about some of the old gems in terms of looking for, you know, kind of hard choices for the council? Are we going to have a discussion about golf this year?
So the golf discussion actually will happen May 22nd, and that's going to have two pieces to it, Joe. One is the overall kind of health of the golf enterprise fund, and then also a proposal, an unsolicited proposal we received from the Conquistadors to convert one of the courses at Randolph into a course that could host future professional tournaments. And so those are the conversations I'm expecting to have with the council on the 22nd of May.
How is golf doing? I know that Scottsdale Company has been running our golf courses for one or couple of years, not 2 years. How are we doing with the golf?
So overall, things have improved. There's actually, we're projecting to be in the black from an operations standpoint. I think the challenge is the capital needs. Capital needs are in excess of $20 million based on our last analysis of that, Bill. And so as you look at those dollars, you know, there's no way that the operation, or at least the revenue stream that we have identified now, you know, through fees, to pay for that. And so the question really is, what's the long-term viability of that system if, you know, certainly from an operations standpoint, appears to be breaking even. And great job, by the way, you mentioned OB Sports, and they've done a great job of managing the courses for us. They've really started to do some small investments throughout the facilities, and we're really pleased with that relationship and with their operation. I think in the long term, the conversation really is, how do we fund those capital improvements, that replacement of the facilities, that obviously are aging and starting to fail in some instances.
The Conquistador proposal, is that bolstered by the extension of Rio Nuevo for another 10 years?
So I'm not sure that they were related. Obviously, Rio Nuevo's re-upping by the legislature is an opportunity in longer term. But I think that the Conquistadors are looking, at least my understanding and what they put in writing, is they would really like to be back in Tucson. They would like to develop a relationship with the city and potentially with the university at improving one of the Randolph courses and making it a pro-level course again.
The Proposition 101, which was passed by voters in May, really a year ago, May, put $150 million in new capital for police and fire departments over the next several years. In the year that has now passed since that proposition, have we been replacing police cars and doing upgrades to public safety?
Absolutely, and thanks for asking that. The public can actually get on the TucsonAZ.gov website and get an up-to-date listing of all of the purchases and improvements. We bought cardiac monitors. We've replaced vests. We started the process for some of the failing facilities that we have. We've bought vehicles. We had a ribbon cutting, really an unveiling of some of the vehicles that we purchased. We did that about a month ago. So things are progressing nicely. I like the accountability that we're showing online on the website as far as this is what the ballot language was. This is what was outlined in the ballot language, and here's how we're making sure to deliver on those promises.
We're coming up on 13 minutes past the hour. Mike, how far are you from the station? Maybe I'll take the break here.
I'm in your parking lot.
Oh, you're in your parking lot. There you are. All right, then we are going to take the break because I don't want to really bring up what is quite a complex subject that Joe and I both want to get into is police staffing. That's going to be coming
Absolutely.
Up after we take our break, and Mr. Ortega will be with us in studio after we hear from the great lineup of our partners here on the Buckmaster Show, including our newest partner, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Joe, do you know what what a Danish Kringle is?
No, but you've caught me at a bad time. I'm hungry, so
okay.
It sounds like a
right.
great way to For the spend my afternoon.
And have one as your dessert at lunch. Have a great sandwich. All that freshly baked bread is ready now at Mona's Danish Bakery and the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and several dozen links to our great sponsors that support this program. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, our Monday Political Face-Off features Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash. Then we'll hear from General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the United States Army. During the noon hour on Monday on AM 1030 KVOI Tucson's Voice, worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. Back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Tucson City Manager Mike Ortega with us in studio, and Joe Ferguson is here. One of the beats, many beats that Joe has, is Tucson City Hall, so he's very comfortable in the questioning, certainly with Mr. Ortega. Mike, what is the situation with the police? Now, what's the latest thinking about getting these people some more money so they don't go to other departments?
So this has been a conversation we've had for many months, Bill, and when you look at why folks leave, one aspect is dollars. Other aspect is, you know, opportunities, promotional opportunities, chemistry of the organization itself. So what I did is went to the council early in the calendar year and suggested to them that we needed to stop or at least slow down the attrition rate. Our attrition rate traditionally had been about six officers, you know, around 72. Per year, so about six officers a month. What that increased to was on average about eight. So those additional 24 officers positions are extremely difficult to fill. And if you look at the numbers, we'll get 300-400 applicants, of which maybe 3 to 4 will make it all the way through the process, including probation. So when you look at those kinds of numbers, you've got to really have a huge and very robust recruitment effort. So I suggested to the council that we consider a couple things. One was additional officers. Initially, I was looking at 20 additional officers. So this is on top of what we're already staffed at. Second, I suggested that we consider hiring community service officers to take some of the load off of the sworn personnel. And then also some training money and some money to address some of the area or the strata within the organization that was leaving. We knew that the 5 to 15 year tenured employees were leaving, so there's an opportunity for us to have a conversation around salary adjustments and that. Council came back, said that's fine, go back and work with the labor group and the chief. We did that. Labor group came back and said and suggested, rather than putting $20 for 20 new officers or additional officers, they suggested, why don't you put some of those dollars towards staff salaries, try to stem that flow, if you will, of folks leaving. So what we ended up with were 10 additional officers, the CSOs, the training, and the adjustments. So I'm hopeful. I think that there's no guarantee, but certainly some of the information that we've been provided demonstrated that would certainly stem that flow.
So are we at a very low level? What is our staffing level right now with police?
So we are at about 856 folks. Now, there's folks in the academy and various levels of training. Deployable is about 800, so we're right in the 800 range. And obviously, as fast as we can fill the academies, we're doing that. But keep in mind that a community of our size needs more. And so the conversation is on a bigger scale. How do we put those resources, when they're finite, towards that? Something else has to suffer.
Joe Ferguson.
Well, and it should be said that you have 800 right now, but your goal is 950.
That's correct, and thanks, Joe. Yeah, the goal actually in the long term is to have 950, and so part of this effort, part of the training money, part of all of those efforts that we've been going through is to get to that 950 level.
And one of the things that we haven't discussed is that for the people that you're putting $100,000 a pop in through the academy, is putting them under contract, keeping them here for a finite period of time so that they don't leave for another area. You know, there are municipalities like Marana right now that are recruiting. They don't bother with the academy. They literally just recruit from other departments.
That's right, and that's hard when you invest a ton of money, over $100,000 a piece.
It's $100,000.
Yes, absolutely. By the time you go, and it actually, if you do the math after you equip them and go through that, it's probably higher than that. So the conversation we're having internally is we've got to make sure that there's a contractual obligation to at least pay back those dollars if they decide to leave or provide the service that we train them for.
Overall, then, will all police officers get a raise, or will there be just different levels getting raises?
So my budget had proposed an increase in salary for all city employees. It's been almost 10 years since we had seen the employees receive any kind of adjustment. So from that perspective, everybody does. I think the differentiation between some of those levels just depends on what group was leaving and really making the business case for those particular folks.
How's the fire department doing? We are looking for a new chief.
That's correct. So fire department does not have the same issues that the police department has in terms of attrition. Certainly, we're starting to see a little bit of movement, and it's important that we try to get ahead of that, having conversations on how to do that, how best to address that. As you mentioned, we do have our interim chief, Joe Galata. He's doing a great job in that role.
Joe's been with the department a long time.
He has. He's been there for a long time, and seasoned vet, been around, and so understands all the processes and so forth. So we're going to take a deep dive. We're looking at all of our departments, and the fire department just happens to be next. We're going to take a deep dive and really look at the operation as a whole and come back with some recommendations and hopefully craft out that future, what that future configuration looks like for a new chief.
Joe, did you have anything more before I leave the police, or did you have any more police-related stuff?
Well, I just wanted to touch on fire for just a second and say, you know, the fire union has a different opinion about whether there is a manpower issue right now. But I guess the question for me is that, you know, last we left it, they were looking at getting their 2.5% and deciding internally how to spend that. Do we have a better sense on what that looks like now?
So I've been working with them. We don't have anything finalized. And keep in mind, Joe, I'm not going to argue that we need more police officers and more firefighters and more staff across the board. I think that's pretty obvious. What I'm looking at is not just that future need, but also where the attrition's occurring. But ultimately, I am confident that we're going to be able to come up with something that will address some of the issues that we have in our fire ranks.
As far as police, there's been a new program to kind of seek some input from the public. It's a new program that will combine data analysis and public input to help meet community needs that's being rolled out by the police department. Is this kind of like maybe a new branding or trying to improve the image of the police department with the public?
So, Bill, I think that it's being smart about the deployment of resource and having an understanding of where they need to be, and there's metrics around that. But it isn't just about data that, you know, this is where the crime occurred and this is where the calls for service. There's also a piece that's extremely important, which is the public input. You know, what does the public expect and what is the conversation with the public as a part of that? So that way the metrics are a piece, but then they're educated, if you will, or we're educated with the conversations with the public.
We have a new parks director.
We do, Brent Dennis.
That's a huge piece, isn't it?
It is, and we're very very lucky to have landed him. He comes from Anaheim, California, was the parks director there.
Comparable
types of issues. Yeah. So he's hit the ground running. As a matter of fact, on his first day, he planted a tree.
We took
some youth out, and they planted a tree over at the El Rio Neighborhood Center over on West Speedway. So we're very excited. I mean, he's got his hands full. We've got obviously a lot of issues when it comes to our parks. We've got some facility challenges. We've got programmatic challenges. We've got, you know, you name it.
Maintenance challenges.
All over.
So, I mean, Anaheim probably had a similar situation, maybe underserved with actual city parks like Tucson. And this would be something that I'm sure your new guy is going to have to address.
He will. And like I say, he's hit the ground running. I'm very excited. I think he brings some leadership that will provide us some good direction and give us some options. I'd encourage you, Bill, and maybe I'll suggest that maybe come on your show at some point.
I want to meet him, and we'll have him on the show and introduce him to our listeners. Joe, go ahead.
So a question about that, you know, we're talking a little bit about it, is there's some high-level turnover at some of the top areas of that. Is that just normal, or is there something going on there where you have – I think three different policy or department directors that are absent at the time.
So normal is relevant, right?
Yeah.
So what is normal really? And I think if you look and dissect, there's just various reasons why we have vacancies. I think the challenge is to find phenomenal staff to replace them. And that's really the challenge that I've put out to our HR folks and making sure that we bring in folks that have the experience and also have an appreciation for the uniqueness of Tucson. And I think that one of the things that makes us great as a community is our uniqueness. And it's important as we bring folks in and we recruit for these positions that they understand that. And that's really been a focal point for us.
Yeah, one key piece is the city's transportation director, because not only are you hiring a man or a woman who is going to be overseeing road work, but you've got the transit piece too in there.
It's a very important position. We're in the process now. We have received applications. We should be filling that position hopefully in the next 60 days. We'll have round of interviews by the end of this month. So we're excited about that. But you're right, Bill. That's a key position, not just in terms of road maintenance and so forth, but there's so many pieces that it affects. I mean, everything from land development to RTA projects and, oh, by the way, transit, which in and of itself is a pretty big animal.
Do you want to talk a little bit about, and I'm almost out of time, kind of the hot potato in town right now is the Benedictine Monastery, a very beloved structure here in Tucson. How involved are you in all of this?
So I've been involved basically just as the watching the staff. There's a process. We have been in close contact with the ward office, which is Councilman Kozacik, and making sure, again, that the process for that development is followed. Ultimately, making sure that the neighbors have a voice, the developer has a voice, and everybody's understanding what the process is, and ultimately whatever that decision is made, and the process is kept pure.
Joe, do you have anything else?
I guess I just want to say is that, you know, that's pretty early in the process. I mean, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they were telling me that, you know, these plans are largely being discussed absent, you know, submitting them to the city.
Yeah, so that's an important piece here, Bill and okay. Joe. The conversation is based on concepts that have been given to folks in meetings. And when you look at the actual formal submittal, there isn't any.
Right.
So for us to be reacting to anything at this point, I think is premature. And there's speculation, and there's a lot of conversation around some of that. But clearly, it's not. There's nothing that's on the table at this very moment.
So nothing formally has gone to the city.
That's correct.
Okay. Glad Joe brought that up. All right. So this. Public hearings begin when now on the budget?
I believe it's May 8th is the first one. Then the tentative is the 22nd of May with the adoption. I believe it's June 5th. I don't remember the exact date in June.
And overall picture, this will be a spending plan. How much compared to last year's fiscal year?
So it's about just shy of $1.5 billion, slightly up from last year because of the proposition for the zoo and Prop 101. So just keep in mind that the council has to establish the total amount, and that fluctuates based on those other revenue streams. But everything is pretty much the way it was. I'm proud to announce that we've got a structurally balanced budget again, and so the council has worked through that, and we'll keep working through that down the road.
Are we about in line with other cities our size with that kind of a spending plan, budget plan?
I'm not sure I can comment on that exactly.
Probably not. I don't know if you're in your business, you compare notes with other city managers of similar size.
All I know is how much money we get in and all of the needs and demands on those finite resources.
And every city's going to have a different situation with their money picture, aren't they?
They are.
Mike Ortega, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you for having me, Bill. And again, I apologize for sitting out in your parking lot on the phone.
Well, we had a good phone line. That's important. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend. Joe Ferguson sticks around. Dylan Smith is up next. Dylan, editor, publisher of the Tucson Sentinel. No shortage of things to talk about in a very busy week in Arizona news. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Experience one of the most powerful stories of the 20th century, The Diary of Anne Frank, live on stage at the Temple of Music and Art. Don't miss this true story of a young girl and her family's struggle for survival against the inhumanity of the Nazi regime. A story of faith, hope, and belief in the goodness of humanity. A haunting adaptation of the original Pulitzer Prize award-winning play based on Anne Frank's diary. Arizona Theater Company's The Diary of Anne Frank, April 21st through May 12th. Tickets are at arizonatheater.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Friday edition. Thanks to City Manager Michael Ortega for being our Friday focus interview. Actually, this is my last Friday before vacation, and seated to my left will be next week's host on Friday, Mr. Dylan Smith, editor, publisher, founder of TucsonSentinel.com. How are you, Dylan?
Great, great. And where are you going? What's this vacation?
Well, the latest edition of the Buckmaster itinerary, which has changed probably seven or eight times. But no, this is going to be a great trip. Going to the Bahamas.
Ooh,
yeah.
Nice.
So looked for a place to kind of just kick back. So we're going to Cat Island, which is supposed to have some absolutely beautiful beaches. Couple of James Bond movies were filmed there. There's also some confusion about what was the first place that Columbus stepped foot in the New World. And Cat Island is the candidate with another island called San Salvador. So who knows? But it's one of those things in the Bahamas. It's important. They like to say this is the first place where Columbus stop.
Well, whether he did or not, it's still a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place, and can't wait, really. Going to be a great trip. Joe Ferguson sticks around from our interview with Mr. Ortega. There is so much to discuss, and of course, we will get to the teachers' settlement, the strike, and the new budget. But before
there
we
was
do,
a teacher strike?
Yeah.
Oh.
But before we do,
I don't think anybody noticed.
Get some of your impressions, because this is very much fresh on your mind, Dylan. You were hosting last night. I think this is the second or third time you have hosted one of these CD2. You have not done the Republicans, but you've done two or three, right?
Two now.
Democratic.
Primary candidates for the Democrats in CD2.
And there are
quite a few of them.
There are six.
Seven now.
Ooh,
total.
I missed something.
Yeah.
Who am I missing?
Yaya.
So who joined in?
Yaya Yuxo, who is a...
Yaya...
Yuxo.
Yuxo.
Who's an attorney in town, a Tucson native, who very, very recently jumped into the race and is... admits that he's working pretty hard to get the signatures to qualify to be on the ballot. The deadline is at the end of the month.
End of June, right?
No, end of this month.
Ooh.
June 1st, the big day.
So
That's a daunting task.
Just about everybody else in the race says that they have their signatures nailed down and they will be good to go to get on the ballot.
But, including Miss Cherry, Barbara Cherry?
Not Barbara Cherry.
Cherry?
She acknowledges that she's been having some trouble. You know, she lives in a very rural place in Cochise County and mm-hmm. doesn't have the same level of resources that some other candidates do. So she was pretty honest about the fact that she might not be on the ballot.
Who didn't show up last night?
Ann Kirkpatrick, who is the front runner in fundraising by quite a long ways, and seemingly the front runner in some other ways, didn't show up. Had indicated that she wasn't available that day, and the group that organized this, Represent Me Arizona, offered to change the date, and Ann Kirkpatrick said she wasn't available for any days in May.
Hmm. Well, go ahead, Joe.
Kirkpatrick's team is saying that there is another debate that's happening later this month that she's participating in, but it's not clear to me whether the other six candidates are part of that debate. So it's still an emerging thing, but it is kind of scary at the idea that Kirkpatrick couldn't find the time for the entire month, even when organizers offered to change the date.
And there are, that group and some other groups are still trying to get together, some other forums, discussions, debates, whatever kind of specific format they end up being over the next, what do we have?
Feels like 3 months.
Yeah, just a little bit under 3 months before early voting starts, right?
Yeah.
How about the end of July? Republican side, there's, well, how many candidates on CD2?
One just dropped out, I think. So I think we are down to four at this point.
Yeah.
The Republicans had another of their not very open to the public at all debates the other night.
Oh, really? Another under-the-radar debate?
Something that wasn't advertised at all. The County Republican Party didn't send out any notices to it until all of the seats were already taken.
Oh.
And only two of the candidates showed up. It was skipped by the, presumptive front runner, Leah Marquez Peterson. She didn't go. And this one, they were actually checking people's IDs at the door and turning people away if
checking
they didn't want them to be
passports
there.
Passports and, wow.
And it kind of
no, not
boggles
passport.
The imagination that you would want to have a debate and not have people who might be interested in hearing about you and your platform be in the room.
So remind me.
Is that how it's supposed to work?
I don't think so. But remind me again, in terms of the makeup of the Pima County Republican group, isn't one of the vice presidents a actual candidate for office as well? Anna Henderson?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, you're right. This debate, I think, the one this week, a couple nights ago, was sponsored by the local Tea Party Patriots group.
Okay, well.
Not the County Republican Party.
My mistake. So,
but, you know, a lot of those people certainly overlap.
How about sure. signatures for the Republicans in CD8? Leah Marquez Peterson, obviously. CD2. How about signatures? Leah obviously will get enough.
That kind of remains to be seen how the other candidates are doing. They're not working very hard at getting their name out to the public at large, which could be a little bit of a hurdle when you're standing in a parking lot with a clipboard trying to get people to sign your signatures,
Donna,
to sign your petitions.
Donna has called us. Donna, did you want to say something?
Yeah. Oh, first of all, Marilyn Wiles dropped out, and she's now running for the state senate in LD10.
Great.
And
thanks for the update. Yeah.
Okay.
And the other thing is that debate was not put on by the Republican Party. It was the Pima County Tea Party Patriots.
Okay. Thank you, Donna, for
okay.
weighing in, and appreciate it. As I often say, Donna and Joe, our listeners are our best editors in
Indeed.
Many cases.
Absolutely.
All right. We've carved out a little bit of time here, and appropriately enough, the legislature, once the budget is passed, it's usually turn the lights out, isn't it, gentlemen? The session's over.
Absent a special session?
It's
signy die.
Signy die. Budget has been passed. And now, Dylan, we'll ask you or Joe, please contribute. What is the deal with my property taxes? I live in the TUSD district. Are my property taxes going up? As Tim Steller pointed out in his column today, as an average property tax owner, maybe $250 a year. Can you explain this simply?
No.
And Bill, I think that while Dylan has tapped the easy way out, okay, I'll only add to it by saying I think that it's premature to worry about getting a tax increase right now. Okay. It's likely to see this being challenged in court as one taxing district is being charged more than another.
Yeah. What happened here is that TUSD has this very long-standing court-ordered desegregation program.
40 years or
that that needs to be paid
going
for.
On for 40
and
years.
Because of the way how tax rates are structured, there are limits on certain sorts of property taxes. And so the state was making up that difference. And the legislature decided that it wasn't going to do that anymore. And it said that these sorts of taxes need to be moved into secondary property tax.
Okay.
Where there isn't that sort of limit. Mm-hmm. So this sounds like it's a tax increase for you. It's one TUSD being forced to raise taxes. But okay, the legislature did not pass this by a two-thirds supermajority, which is a requirement under the state constitution to raise taxes. Mm-hmm. So if somebody takes this to court, pretty much any TUSD homeowner would have standing to take this to court and say, you can't raise my property
Bill,
tax.
Bill, you could do it.
Yeah, I could even. I won't, but I could.
So in a Buckmaster v. Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, I am.
So this is almost inevitably going to be tied up in court for quite some time, and really my money would be on, as our Sentinel columnist Blake Morlock pointed out earlier this week, maybe last week. It's been such a busy time with this teacher strike.
I think it was
that this
last week.
This is pretty, blatantly unconstitutional if it passes without two-thirds of the legislature voting for it in both houses. And that didn't happen. It fell short.
But it's needed for the teachers' raises.
So where does the money come from, you're asking?
Yes.
And that's, at this point, entirely unknown. It's not. The money's needed to pay for the desegregation program, which is mandated by a federal court. They can't just shrug their shoulders and say, well, we don't know. So, yeah, there is the short-term problem of if this doesn't happen, where does that money come from?
Gentlemen, I think we're overlooking the fact that rosy revenue projections are largely funding this teacher raises, and it's
A much bigger chunk,
right? And so, there are different pies of this that are going on, and one of them is, does Arizona's economy improve to pay for these teacher raises? And we won't know that for a year or two, but certainly, there's a lot of kind of if, ands, or buts about how we're going to pay for this.
Some of it's theoretical monopoly money at this point.
So could this 20% not happen for teachers?
It's mandated by the state constitution, but how do you pay for it is still going to be the devil's in the details.
So was the strike successful?
I think, as in any labor action, your primary goal is to raise attention for what's going on. They got a little bit in short-term goals. There will likely be, across the state, some modest raises for teachers in the upcoming year. But long-term, will all of these promises that we heard coming from the governor and from the legislature about, substantial, sustained raises for teachers, will that come to pass? That's entirely up to the next legislature. They're the ones that would have to do that.
And to my point, it's entirely up to the school districts. So
indeed,
the legislature is giving a chunk of cash to school districts. And so, our education reporters are going to be very busy seeing how the 9 different school districts here in Southern Arizona are going to apply that chunk of cash. How much will go to teachers? How much of the money Ducey set aside for support staff actually gets to support staff versus, fixing critical infrastructure that has long been ignored?
Yeah, because does it make a terrible amount of sense to have better paid people if your classroom falls apart even more?
Or bus drivers with raises on belt tires.
Yeah.
And for each of the school districts, they had to take a look at what this 1 week off meant to perhaps postponing graduation. And from what I understand, each district is now reporting in that there'll be no specific change in the graduation times, everything will continue on, right?
Even
is
if
that
it,
what you hear?
Even if they have to like add an extra day on and maybe don't have their grades completely compiled and all of that, for a lot of districts, you don't get your diploma as you walk on graduation night anyway. There's generally even more paperwork left to do. So I don't think the dates of graduation ceremonies will necessarily change at all. And it's really down to the number of minutes, classroom minutes, that kids are supposed to spend. And there are some districts that are talking about adding another 10 minutes a day through the rest of the year to make sure that they are above the threshold. And so in that way, they might not even have to add an extra day. They could just add a few more minutes because it's not actually classroom days.
Okay. And I only have a minute and a half. Well, yeah, less than a minute and a half. And I bring up a question that probably we could have spent an hour talking about the political implications of this for the candidates running for governor on the Democratic side, because we know that we know where Governor Ducey will position himself in the political race for his reelection, about the 20%. Dylan and Joe, quick comment on that. Does anybody come out ahead on that, Steve Farley or Professor Garcia, in that? And of course, there is, you know, Kelly Fryer is the also running.
It's hard to say how Democrats are going to react. Mm-hmm. I know that many of them are pretty upset at how the Red for Ed movement ended, at least for now. So it's hard to see whether Democrats will be able to capitalize on this or not.
And whether anybody gets traction out of this, Dylan?
Farley was able to, you know, bolster his public profile a little bit because of his position in elected office right now, and maybe take away some of Garcia's thunder as the education candidate.
Right.
But, you know, we've still got some time left before the primary, and how people think about this, as Joe was saying, as their immediate fervor wears off over the next few weeks, how they assess what the outcome was will play a big role. We should note that Ducey is being primaried by somebody who is coming at him from the right.
Right.
So, you know, that's...
Who is that?
Ken Bennett.
Ken Bennett.
That's right. Ken Bennett, of course.
So that might play a little bit of a role in how we see Ducey try and play the outcome of this as well.
Yeah. We'll see. Mr. Bennett still has to gather all those signatures before the end of May?
Indeed, and it's quite a few for a statewide office.
Yeah, it is. All right. We're going to take our break right here before we come back with Weekend Watch. Dylan, good luck with the show. You'll be in my chair next Friday.
That's the real hot seat there.
Yeah. Have a great weekend, Dylan and Joe. Thank you very much.
Have a
Joe,
great vacation.
Thank you very much. Joe, anything you want to promote about the paper this week?
I'm sure there'll be great stories in the paper.
Oh, I'm sure there will. All right. Thanks, guys. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Silver City in Grant County is our fine sponsor that presents Weekend Watch. Silver City in Grant County, just a 3-hour drive from Tucson. And when the temperatures hit 100 in Tucson, it's time to pack the bag and go to Silver City because it's 15 degrees cooler because of that great elevation. Go to their website, southwestnewmexico.org, for the full listing of the great places to stay and the many recreation opportunities. Visit Tucson's Dan Gibson filling in today for the vacationing Matt Russell, our usual host of Weekend Watch, but Matt is going to do some double duty for us. Thanks, Matt. I mean, thanks, Dan.
No,
I've got everybody.
All right.
I've got everybody confused. I'm ready to take.
I can do a pretty good Matt impersonation.
I think I'm ready to go on vacation. Let's put it that way.
Right, how's maybe.
That? Yeah.
I'm just going to point out that Matt left town and didn't do the show. I'm doing the show from Chicago.
Oh,
I'm a little more dedicated to the Buckmaster show.
Oh my goodness!
Just throwing that out there.
All right. Do you? Even though you're in Chicago, do you have some great Weekend Watch ideas?
I do, and I expect people to go to them and tell me how they work.
Okay.
The Mercado District on the west side of downtown, the MSA Annex, the Mercado St. Augustine Annex, is opening this weekend. Events starting today at 7 p.m. It's actually the 7th anniversary of the Mercado itself, which has turned out to be, you know, a really great place to gather for people to hang out, great food, all that stuff. The MSA Annex brings in 13 locally owned businesses. Many of which are women or minority owned, including Why I Love Where I Live. There's a vegan burger place. There's a noodle spot. There's a new bar from the people at Tap and Bottle. The highlight of that is tonight at 7 p.m. you should see Giant Sand at the Mercado. It is a free concert. Giant Sand is probably Tucson's one of Tucson's most legendary bands. They are where Calexico got their start. They're a really great group, and they're performing their first album, Valley of Rain. It is absolutely free over there on the west side of the freeway. Take the light rail. Couldn't be easier.
Sounds fun.
Cinco de Mayo. I mean, you got to do that, right? The Gavage Heritage Festival is in full swing, and this is one dear to my heart. Visit Tucson is one of the sponsors at Tono Chule tomorrow, 12 noon to 4 p.m. It is a family-friendly experience. There's going to be wild foods from the Sonoran Desert, tequila tastings, agave roasting seminar, documentary screening, art installations, face painting, tug of war, all kinds of stuff. Absolutely free at Tono Chule Park. The temperature's heating up. It's really great time to be outside before it gets too much worse. But a great sort of capstone of the Agave Heritage Festival.
Lot to do.
One more. There is. It's true. One more. All right. the very first Make-A-Wish Arizona, really incredible charity. They're doing a food event Sunday, 5 to 8 p.m. at the Tucson Marriott University Park. It's called Delicious Wishes. 100% of the proceeds go to Make-A-Wish. There'll be restaurants and chefs, Red Smokehouse, Romero Scavo will be there, Swore Corner, CJ Ham, Charo Steak, PY Steakhouse, The Parish, Gentle Ben's. Great opportunity to taste all these local dishes. There'll be Southern Arizona brewers and distilleries. You can go buy tickets. Just go online, Google, or just search on Facebook for Delicious Wishes.
All right. You'll find
it. Should be a great time.
All right, Dan Gibson, the Visit Tucson. Dan will be in my chair as I begin my vacation. Dan has a special tourism show that's lined up for Thursday. Are you excited?
I am excited. It's a hectic time of year, but I'll be back in Tucson on Tuesday, ready to do the show on Thursday, then I leave again on Wednesday. Oh, that's crazy. All the things happen.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend. Safe trip back.
You too.
All right. All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for the content of our program. So many people to thank, including Chris Stefan for our original music, Rosemary Brandt, Tom Fairbanks, great to see you on the other side of the glass, and everybody here at KVOI. I'm out of time. Have a great weekend.